Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, November the 2nd of 2020. And I'm your host, as usual, tonight, the Miracle Man. And I'm glad to be back with you after not being on the air on Wednesday night due to being down south on Wednesday night. I was driving down to Kentucky, and I had a nice few days with my brother, Ray, and he's doing very good. And we went down to, you know, we stayed at a lovely family's house where my brother lives. And then on one of the days, we went down to Nashville. We went to Hattie B's, which is a very good fried chicken place in Nashville. And then we walked around downtown for a bit, and then we went to Opry Mills Mall, which is one of my favorite indoor malls in the United States. And Opry Mills is an indoor outlet just like Great Lakes Crossing. And some of you might wonder, you know, Miracle Man, are these indoor outlets really your favorite malls in the U.S.? Sometimes. Depends on the city, depends on the mall, depends on the layout, depends on the food court, depends on the music that they play in there. Even depends on, like, the smells and all that and all that kind of stuff. It depends on what I'm looking for, I think, and partly, you know, what represents the area. And different things like that come into play. But like I said, it was a good time. And whoever thought I would have to say this, not one restaurant asked me for my phone number. Not one asked me for my phone number or my name. To be honest with you, listeners, I think you should have a choice which one to give you, if at all. Because in the state, they have chosen to mandate that restaurants who do dine-in ask you for your name and number. In my mind, I'm thinking, can I do the name or number? And also, it better be I really hope it's a friendly person. One who I don't mind giving my name to. But it is what it is. But obviously in Michigan, to a degree, it's a bit of a different world than what it is in Kentucky, Tennessee, and Ohio. It really is. And especially at this point, I prefer the latter three. Because them wanting a name and number, that's a tough pill to swallow. Now, I understand that these stores, that when they always ask you for your name and number, I don't get what, I mean, obviously they do it but it's just a marketing thing. But They were one day, but then yesterday we heard a great word from Brother Terry Lynn Scott in Kentucky as he talked about legacy and what do you want to be remembered for. And if you're all, so that was a good message. And I wanted to talk to you about something that seemed kind of interesting. So, you know, it's really crazy how fast time can just fly by. A lot of times it can seem like time is going by super slow. Oh my goodness, between like March like 12th, March 13th, and like April 4th, April 5th, it seemed like time was barely moving, didn't it? Seemed like for a few weeks that was barely moving.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden now it's
just
November.
And now it's flying. October went by quicker than the summer. Than like July or August. But once we get to the 26th, it better slow way down, because the 26th is Thanksgiving. But after that, I hope it crawls by, because just to be honest with you, those of you who have been with me on this show the last couple of years, you all know how I feel about the Christmas music and how I want the whole season to go by nice and slow so that we can just all, you know, have a nice season and have it go by nice and slow so that it doesn't feel so rushed. And it just feels like you have more time to do everything and feels a bit nicer. But then, of course, when you're having fun, time flies. Seems like March was like the other day, almost. And it even seems like October 31st was what, an hour ago?
Yeah.
I don't know, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, something like that. It seems like I got home 2 minutes ago, even though it was like 2 hours. It feels more like, they can say it feels more like, you know, 3 minutes. But it's just wild how quick time can just fly when you don't even think about it. And I couldn't kind of see why during strictest part of the whole COVID thing, why it was going by super slow. But then later on, even during it, kind of started moving quite a bit quicker for whatever reason. By during it, listeners, I meant like during the true lockdowns. Unfortunately, in some other countries like Europe, some other countries of Europe, they have made the determination to go right back to lockdown, which here, luckily, not too many places have made the determination to do that yet. And I hope that none do, regardless of the election. And speaking of the election, tomorrow is the day. You basically have 24 hours, or just over 24 hours, basically, to vote, if you have not voted yet. And I'm going to make a plug one last time, and that is to vote you know, if you're a Christian, vote Bible. Find out who best represents your political views. And obviously, don't vote based on political party. Vote based on what they stand for. And what do they believe in? Those are the kind of candidates that we should be voting for. And I am going to go vote tomorrow. By the time I come on live at tomorrow night at 6:30, I will have already voted. I will not be dealing with the election tomorrow night other than just a brief prayer, maybe. Here's why. Because the reason for that, listeners, is because everything you turn on tomorrow night is going to be about the election. You won't be able to escape it. Yes, I'll be watching after the show, hoping. Maybe a little party. I might take a swig of Coke every time they call. Every time they call, the candidate I want has won a state. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You take a swig every time they get a state. I know, right? Yeah, you take one every time. You take little ones in between, but you take big ones when they call a state. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, it's kind of like a toast. And then who knows? But I'm believing that for Christians, this can be a good election, a really good election, as long as the people of God go vote. Or if you're doing mail-in, I hope that you have mailed it in, of course, otherwise, so that it can be counted tomorrow night. Because let's be honest, the sooner that the ballot, the sooner that the states and the Electoral College and all that are counted, and you say, and yes, I understand. I've heard the rumors. I've heard what's planned. There are riots planned based on the election results. And I've heard that there can be riots regardless of the winner. We have to pray against the riots and that God would just bring that to naught. Another thing I want to say is we have to get a grip and realize, and we have to be able to accept the results of the election, regardless of who they are, regardless of what they are, the House, the Senate, the President. We have to be able to accept it, even if it's not the outcome that we want. Because, let's face it, the outcome that I want may not be the outcome that you want. And I have to say that honestly. Many of you may want the same person. Obviously, there could be a few that don't. And so,
may the best leader win.
And may the best one win, of course. May the best leader win, yeah, as I would say it. And we just have to
agree to disagree.
Sometimes, listeners, we have to be able to agree and disagree and just accept it. And this idea that people are going to riot because their candidate didn't win, come on, man. What you going to do now? Are you going to go riot at your McDonald's because they didn't have your McChicken? Or you, they or they ran out of fries?
No, they didn't have apple pies this time.
And then they're gonna be, and then you're gonna have like 50 of your friends out in front of the McDonald's to riot it, and then loot it. Come on. There's only people who have been doing these riots. They need to grow up and realize that not everything is going to go your way, and not just your way, the way you think it will. It won't always go the way you think it will. And so that's why, listeners, you know, we have to pray. If you haven't voted yet, you still got to go vote. I'm a 31-year-old traditionalist, and I like to go in person on the day of. One time I felt bad because I went a little bit later in the night than I would have liked to, but still wanted it the day of course. And I'm one of those that when I leave on election day, because of how important I feel it is, that's the first place that I go. Obviously, listeners, some of you, maybe you go to, maybe based on when you go to work or whatever, you know, you believe in voting and you haven't done it yet, make sure you go do it. So maybe you go to work, then you go home from work, you know, get in early or whatever. Then I would say maybe the next place you go is you go vote. But just don't forget, because this is important. If you're not sure if you registered or not, check tonight after the show to make sure. Because I've heard the thing, you know, if you've moved, you may not be registered. If you change your name, you might not be registered. So check it to make sure that you are. If you're not, then oh well. But hopefully you checked it earlier than this. But still, I want to help you. Because if you say you're a Christian, you know, and you're an American, you really should be a voter. Well, I don't like either any of the candidates. I've looked over the entire possible ballot, and I don't like any of them or any of it. Well, you just got to make up your mind, you know, for who is the best and best represents your views, and vote based on that. And I approve this message. Okay, let me say this. I'm River Shukloff, Miracle Man, and I approve this message. Not paid for or endorsed by any candidate or political party or those other things, you know, that they say when they do these ads. Another thing. So last night we're listening to something in the car. We're driving through that state to the south. No, not Kentucky. We had left Kentucky. We were in that state to the south. You see, when you're in college football season, you got to watch it a little bit closer, you know? And so that's why I was like, And we were in that state to the south. And, We're driving through it. We're on 75, and we're listening to something, and then this ad comes on. He literally sounds like the voice of one of those old Bible cassettes from I just listened to back in the 90s, and he's like, "You did nothing to prepare us from COVID." Like, he literally says it in one of those Supergirl voices. Isn't that crazy, Josh? And then Josh skipped the rest of it. But literally for a minute, I was laughing so hard. So was Mom, and so was Dad. And I thought it was, and the voice was so low that I can't do it. I hope that ad is up here because whatever that thing was, it was just so hilarious. And I was just, you know, and we're watching thing, and it's just really good. Guy who's prophesied some things before, and he's saying what the way he thought the election was going to go, but then, you know, we get interrupted by the ad, and it has that really low voice, and I'm like, wow, and I was just sitting there laughing, and it was just hilarious. I hadn't laughed so hard, and I don't know how long, but before we move on, listeners, I really think that this is important, listeners, that we pray over this election and that we curse COVID, as in this country we're dealing with, you know, rising cases, and so we just have to stand against it. And so we're gonna, and we gotta come against the rioting. And so I'm gonna pray this prayer over America, and then the plan for the rest of the night is, we're going to sing a couple of songs, a couple of older songs tonight, and then we're going to go into the Word of God, and I'm going to teach on God has a plan for us. And then after that, we have sports to go to. A couple of things that really surprised me as far as some of these sports games, and we're going to deal with that in the sports segment. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you right now. I lift up America to you, Father God. I lift up this election to you. I thank you, Lord God, for those who have yet to vote tomorrow, for those who have already voted, for those that have already voted. I pray that they have made the right decision with you in mind, for those who will vote tomorrow and are still making up their minds. They're still researching, still looking to see. I pray that you would, that you're dealing with them and you're showing them, you know, who they should be voting for, how they should be voting. I thank you. I pray, Lord Jesus, over America, over our communities, over our streets. I pray that these riots that are being planned for the days following the results of the election, I pray that these riots would be brought to naught, that when these people go to do their plans, to do the things that are planned, that you would just keep them from going at that. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on this country, Lord God. And I pray that we would find out the results quickly, that this thing would not be dragged out for days upon weeks upon months or longer. Pray that this would be quick, that we'll find out either late tomorrow night or Wednesday. And I thank you, Lord God, that there would be a peace over this nation and that this civil unrest come to naught. In your name, Jesus. And I take authority, Lord Jesus, over this COVID crisis in America. I pray in your name, Father, that COVID is done in this country in your name, Jesus. I pray that you would just wipe this plague off from the land as your people humble themselves, as they pray, as they seek your face, as they repent. I pray that the people of this country that say that they're Christian would just take some time right now to think, and that they would repent of their sins, and that America would repent and turn back to you, Lord God, and that you would help us all. In your name, Jesus. Amen. And amen. And amen. Now, I'm going to sing a couple songs. You might remember these from back in the day, or you might not. You do, hopefully you sing them. if not, then, well, so here we go. I have a friend, his name is Jesus. Jesus, I have a friend, his name is Jesus. Jesus, he's my shepherd that I lean on. He's my shelter from every storm. I have a friend, his name is Jesus. I have a friend, his name is Jesus. Jesus, I have a friend, his name is Jesus. Jesus, he's my shepherd that I lean on. He's my shelter from every storm. I have a friend, his name is Jesus. I have a friend, his name is Jesus. Jesus, I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. He's my shepherd that I lean on. He's my shelter from every storm. I have a friend. I have a friend. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Now we're going to sing it one more time, but before I do, I want you to think about this. Picture this. Sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. He restores my soul. This friend that I'm talking about, he's my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me and guides me. He's the best friend that you could ever have. He really is. So we're going to do it one more time. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Jesus. He's my shepherd that I lean on. He is my shelter from every storm. I have a friend. Oh, I have a friend. Oh, I have a friend. His name is Jesus. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. I look to you now. You're all I need. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. I look to you now. You're all I need. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Burn in me, burn in me. Burn in me. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. I look to you now. You're all I need. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. Rain on me, rain on me. Rain on me. Holy Ghost shower, rain on me. I look to you now. You're all I need. Holy Ghost shower, rain on me. Breathe, breathe on me. Breathe on me. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. I look to you now. You're all I need. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Burn in me. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. I look to you now. You're all I need. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. Rain on me. Holy Ghost shower, rain on me. I look to you now. You're all I need. Holy Ghost shower, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost shower, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost power, rain on me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you rain on us tonight, that your fire would burn in us tonight, that your power would come and fill us tonight, that it would fill us, that it would just breathe on us. You would just breathe on us, Lord Jesus. And that you would speak to our situations right now. Whatever these situations are, sickness, whether they're our bodies, whether there's something going on in our minds, something in our finances, something in our, something that would be, either we're addicted to something or a loved one of ours is addicted to something, that I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that whatever the situation is, that you're breathing on it, that you're dealing with it. And I just thank you that your hand is on our life. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would just make yourself known, that you would work mightily on our behalf. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. I make my confession over this program that sponsors and partners would come into this program, that increases in listenership would come into this program, that, you know, finances would come, and most importantly, Jesus, I thank you that huge amounts of souls would come into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen. Open. Let's make our confession. You got a Bible, hold it up. Say this. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. This book is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I am a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Praise God, Jeremiah 29. And we're talking about God has a plan for us. Amen. And regardless of what you've been faced with, you know, God always has a plan. And I'm going to begin with verse 1 of chapter 29 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:1 NIV. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem. Just turn the page here. Sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried to exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen, mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the captive of the citizens, had gone to exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elijah, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Loah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And it said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those that I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they provide. Marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city by which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams and encourage them, that you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will come to you and I will fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to make you broke, depressed, suffer. I'm sorry. We're in fulfillment. Likely you don't bring back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And you may say, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. But this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all the people who remain in this city. Your countrymen who did not go with you into exile. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will send the sword, famine, and plague against them, and I will make them like poor figs that are so bad that they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with the sword, famine, and plague, and make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth and an object of cursing and horror, of scorn and reproach among all the nations which I drive them, from which I've driven them. They have not listened to my words, declares the Lord. Words that I sent to them again and again, to my servant, the prophets. And you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says about Ahab, son of Peliah, and Zedekiah, son of Naasi, who are prophesying lies to you in my name. I will hand them over to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will put them to death before your very eyes. Because of them, all the exiles from Judah who are in Babylon will use this curse. The Lord treat you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon burned in the fire. For they have done outrageous in Israel. They have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and in my name have spoken lies, which I did not tell them to do. I know it, and I am a witness to it, declares the Lord. Tell Shemaiah the Nehelamite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You sent letters in your own name to all the people in Jerusalem, to Zephaniah, son of Maasi, the priest, and to all the other priests. You said to Zephaniah, the Lord has appointed you priest in place of Jehoiada to be in charge of the house of the Lord. You should put any madman who acts like a prophet into the stocks and neck irons. So why have you reprimanded Jeremiah from Anathoth, who rises as a prophet among you? He has sent this message to us in Babylon. It will be a long time, therefore. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce. Zephaniah the priest, however, he read the letter to Jeremiah the prophet. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Send this message to all the exiles. This is what the Lord says about Shemaiah, the Nehalamite. Because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, even though I did not send him, and has led you to believe a lie, this is what the Lord says. I will surely punish Shemaiah, the Nehalamite, and his descendants. He will have no one left among these people, nor will he see the good things that I will do for my people, declares the Lord, because he has preached rebellion against me. So what you see here is God speaks to Jeremiah as the people are going into exiles. And he tells the people, he basically tells them what God is trying to get across to all of us. And that is, I have plans to prosper you, not plans to harm you. My plans are to give you hope and a future. God wants to give us a future, a bright future. Not a future, not a status quo future, where you just stay where you're at, whether you're happy with it or not. And I'm sure some of you want to get to a better place. I mean, a lot of us want to be at a better spot, whether it be financially or some other means. And the truth of the matter is that God wants to bless us. God wants to give us hope in the future. He has plans laid out for us. For every one of us, he has a plan for us. And if you're one of these students, be it in high school, be it or in college, or you got a degree in something and you're not sure if that's really what you want to do, maybe you got a job and maybe you've been at it a while, but you don't like it. Maybe it could be that it's not God's plan for you. And obviously, not everybody's plan that God has for them is the same. And God wants to bless those who are doing right. But he will not bless those who are doing wrong. As at the end of the chapter, God went after someone who was preaching lies. Because false prophets, God does not like it when people are preaching false doctrines. And that goes with one of the six things the Lord hates, and the seven that are an abomination to him. Lying tongue is one of those things. So, if you're living right, you're following the will of God, of course God has a plan for all of us. But But for those of us who are truly trusting in him, those of us who are asking him for help, those of us who are seeking his face, God wants to help us. He has our life in his hands. And we used to say, you know, when we were younger, we would say, he's got the whole world in his hands, you know, and he's got all the, you know, the little babies. You know what else he has in his hand? He doesn't just have the people. He has our plan in his hands. He has the plans that he has for us, plans to prosper us in all the different ways, not just financially. Not just emotionally, not just, you know, in all these different areas, not just in our body, but in every way, that God has plans for us. They're not plans to hurt us, plans to have us be depressed, broke, can't remember anything. Can't remember what day of the week it is, what state you're in. No, that's not God's plan. God's plan is to help us. Because the truth is, God loves us. He cares about us. And he has a future for us. You might not know what that future is, but you might find out. And it's important to make sure that we're doing what God has called us to be. Because what if God has called you to be a preacher or to be a pastor? What if God has called you to be doing these doing healing crusades, but instead you're over there being an engineer? Or maybe God's called you to be being an evangelist, and you're over here being a doctor. So it's really important, listeners, that that we all of us, find out from God, what are we supposed to be? Not just as far as careers, but as far as our life goes. And am I in your will, God? Because, like I said, his plans are to help us. And not only does he have a plan, he wants to see us in that plan. Because our God, he's not just trying to be harsh, because the truth of the matter is he loves us, he cares, he wants the best for you. Just like how hopefully your parents had or have, depending on how old you are. Hopefully your parents either had or have. You know, they were smart enough to look after you, to raise you properly. And obviously, they love you, but obviously they can't determine for you what your career is going to be. But what'll happen here, what'll happen there, like as we grow up. But God has a plan for us. And God wants to see us through. He wants to see us prosper. He wants to see us above and beyond what we could ask or think. And he's not just sitting there. God is not just sitting there on his throne. My knees are killing me. And Jesus has caught coronavirus. A third of the angels have also tested positive. The other angels are going around heaven wearing masks. I just had to hop one of the pearly gates because I have to make a payment on the throne room tomorrow morning. And Miracle Man is sitting down there doing his radio show, asking me to bless him, asking me to bless his show, teaching to my people. And, oh, what am I going to do? Now, God's not sitting there doing that. No, he loves us. And he wants us to not just make it, but he wants us to be everything that he called us to be. And the future that he has for us is not a future of you're going to be locked down forever and you'll always, you know, and all this, and you'll have all this, you know, the virus will never leave. No, 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 and no. Not God. God says, I have plans to prosper you, no matter what. My pastor, at the start of the year, and at the end of last year, he said that 2020 was going to be a year of plenty. He prophesied that over our church. In the prophecy preview, he said it would be plenty of trouble for those who do not follow God. For those who do follow God the way he says to, and do it properly, would be a year of plenty of blessing. Yeah. And then I'll have to see what Dr. Buckley says about next year, but I know it's going to be good. I just know in my spirit that it's going to be good. And God doesn't just want us to have plenty. He wants us to be overflowing. Now, plenty is good. Of course, plenty is always good. And I'm not just talking about when you go to your local Zaxby's or Popeyes or wherever down south or in the rest of America, your local McDonald's or Burger King or whatever. You look in your fry box and there's, you know, plenty of fries, almost full. They didn't cheat you. Have a manager back there watching as someone puts your fry in the box. Hey, I heard of someone who had that happen to him at Panda Express. My friend who I've had on with me before, Donut, she went to Panda Express to get some food. They literally filled her tray of stuff half full. And they had a manager looking. That's not plenty. No, like when I go to that local McDonald's or whatever, or my local wherever, I like to see it be plenty. And even running over is good, to the point where you need that to-go box. Or that fry box, you know, from McDonald's, that you got some fries in the bag and you got the box that's just super full. That's what overflowing looks like. And that's how God wants our lives to look, like our finances, and our joy for Him, and our all this other stuff. God wants us to live, you know, a good life. And He wants us to make it. He wants us to. Of course, He wants us to, He requires us to tithe, and He wants us to give offerings and all that. But He wants to bless us as we bless Him. And He knows what's best. And you know how, if you've ever heard the phrase when you were younger, mother or father or both of them, parents know best. You've heard that time and time and time and time again. Right, Megan, even when you were little?
Oh, yeah.
You know, father knows best, mother knows best. Well, in this case, it would be God the Father knows best. Even though what's best might not always be what you think is best, but maybe more on that another time. But, you know, God knows what you're supposed to be, and maybe, and let me help you with something else real quick. Just because something seems good doesn't mean it's God. God doesn't put His blessing on it for you. God doesn't say, you know, this is what I want you to do. Then maybe this isn't the place where I want you to go to live or whatever. Then maybe it's not. And so you have to be talking to God about your future to find out where He wants you so that you can be where God wants you to be when He wants you to be there. Lord God, now we're going to pray, and let me just check the clock. Now we're just going to pray real quick and get into the last portion of our evening. Heavenly Father, I come before You right now. Thank You for this time together. Thank You for this word tonight, that we would put this word into practice, Lord God, that we would find out what You've called us to do, what You've called us to be, and that we would be right there where You want us, when You want us to be there. We know it's You, Lord God, that is in charge. You're in charge, Lord God. It's not us. We can think we know, but ultimately, You know more than me, Lord God. You know more than all of us. And whatever your name is, listeners, real quick, I would say, God knows more than your name. God knows more than rivers. Yes, he does. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, in terms of sports, in college football, we had that monumental end of October Harvest Day surprise. It's not an October surprise because that has to do with before the election, but this is sports related, and so since it was on, the 31st of October, which I like to call Harvest Day, I like to say it was the Harvest Day surprise, and that was Michigan State shocked 13th-ranked Michigan by beating the Wolverines 27-24. Penalties bogged down Michigan in the first half, and Michigan continued to struggle from there. And people in the circle of college football are saying that this is Harbaugh's worst loss in his tenure at Michigan. Worse than any of his losses to that team to the South. And let me tell you something. Without major changes, you can't lose to Michigan State and then accept to, at the end of the year, beat that team to the South. Generally, it doesn't work that way because, of course, that team to the South has plans. You know they do. They're always working on how to beat Michigan. They are. They have since 2011, since the last time they beat them. As they've gotten them for a record 8th year. From Michigan State, now they're going to look at how they can keep improving and keep getting better. As they weren't supposed to look that good this year. But they've proven a lot of people wrong. So for Michigan State, how can we keep getting better? For Michigan, gotta regroup, find out where they lost track, get back on track. Look forward to Indiana on Saturday. And see what they need to do in order to beat them. NFL. For the games I picked, you did have the Buccaneers winning again. As they continue to be on fire, a good force to be reckoned with. Also, you had the 49ers take down the Seahawks, which was another one of the games I picked. But the Lions, the Lions. At Ford Field on Sunday. After that great walk-off win against the Falcons in Atlanta last week, what happened to Detroit? The Colts came in there and stifled Stafford. They stifled the running game and really made it difficult on the Lions, as the Lions are now back down under 500, just like they were before they won. As they're marching their way back down towards the basement. And if you're riding a wave of momentum and then you lose, you almost, it's almost like you're being pushed back down towards the basement. And they lose in, was a tough loss this time to the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, the Indianapolis Colts. Now they got to regroup for their next game, which will be on Sunday. All right, high school football. You had Dow High on Saturday take down Flushing by a score of 34 to 8. At halftime, Flushing, Dow was down 8-7 to Flushing, but then they were able to score 27 unanswered points in order to beat down the Raiders, as Flushing finished with a 1-6 record. Dow High, we'll move on. Midland, an impressive 44-0 win on Friday night against the lowly Alpena Wildcats. And they had a really good night. Yes, there were fumbles. There were a couple of missed opportunities on fumbles and some other things. But other than that, it was a really good night as Midland outscored the Wildcats 44-0. And they move on to take on Dow High at an unusual time for a local game, Saturday at 1 o'clock. And it's supposed to be sunny and in the 60s on Saturday. Unfortunately for MHSAA rules, they have decided to make all ticket purchases for the playoffs online only. And personally, I don't like that because that means they can put they can apply a convenience fee, which I don't even get why they do that. I think that's pretty dumb. And also, they claim they did it so they can contact Trace. What kind of baloney is that? Just go back to how you were selling them before at the ticket office. Matter of fact, don't even, at the ticket office in the school. As a matter of fact, don't even do that. Just go back to selling them right at the gate of the stadium, and that's the only place you can buy them. That's what they need to do, but at the same time, only limit it to 1,000 like they've been doing. Like, they can do that, but I would say don't even do that. But honestly, I think they should just first come, first serve on game day at the time. Minus, 100 tickets or whatever for the band. I mean, 200 for the bands, because I really think both bands need to be there. Unlike the regular Midland Dow game where they were not at because of rain. And so Midland Dow will be Saturday at 1, which is a weird time to have a Midland Dow playoff game. I don't know why they did that, but I think it's... No, why do you think they did it a week in advance, to be honest with you, other than because it's going to be nice out? To be honest with you, listeners, I've always preferred night games more at the high school level, more energy. Unless they give the student sections and the band kids all free Mountain Dews, that'll wake them up. Because Because in my mind, it has. Because in my mind, you know, especially if it was up to me, it has to be go big or go home. And so, I've always felt like those Saturday games earlier in the playoffs need to be reserved for those games where the other team has to travel a great distance. Not for teams that are in the same city. But at semifinals, you know, that's all good if they're on Saturday. Then at semifinals, they're rowdy, they're into it, regardless of what time it is, of course. And then, of course, on the big game, which this time will be in December for the first time ever, which, to be honest with you, I like them doing it first weekend of December. I'd like to see the regular season go to 10 games and then 5 rounds of playoffs. And ultimately, I would still do that first weekend of December playoffs at Ford Field, like it has been. Ultimately, I'd like to do what they do in Texas. But obviously, we're not Texas. Because in Texas, you know, they play playoffs all the way to the weekend before Christmas. And their finals are the weekend before Christmas, which I think would be a lot of fun. But they didn't do that there. I hope that in Texas throughout those playoff games they play Christmas music like at halftime and other times. Maybe they decorate the stadium with a big Christmas tree on it. Here's what they do. Yeah, you got the Palmers all sitting down there in December, and they're all down there at the playoff games, and what are they twirling with them? A big thing of Christmas ornaments, right?
Yeah.
That'd be fun. They all got the bells and stuff, the bell girls. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what they do in Texas. If they don't, that'd kind of be mine. But there's other states, I'm sure, that play well into December. Georgia, though, only goes to, like, the first week, but for those that go well into it, you know, after you get past Thanksgiving. I know I personally go do Christmas stuff before Thanksgiving, but knowing a lot don't, that's why I said, like, mainly in December. And the time I was at a Lions game, on December 23rd, they had a choice on which songs they played over the loudspeaker at a certain time. They had the choice of All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey or a different song from like Metallica or whatever, or Ozzy or whatever. Guess who won? The Ozzy song.
Classic.
And to be honest with you, when I saw that, I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
I bet you know what I would do. They would both be Christmas songs, of course. On the 23rd, because especially if it's the 23rd, because then you're like right on the heels of Christmas. You got 24th the next day, then 25th. And I remember I was there, and that was fun time. Nonetheless, like I said, in the future, who knows how they will do the playoffs. I'm guessing we'll probably go back to a 9-game season, 5 rounds of playoffs, probably back to being done on Black Friday and the day after. So, sorry, I don't think December football will be a norm. Although it would be nice. But there's something in the way. Cold! And I don't think, and I know of some people who would not want to sit in, you know, 12-degree wind chills, 14-degree wind chills which sometimes are associated with the month of December. We've had winters in the past in my lifetime, at least two or three of them that I know of, where the coldest month of the whole, what we can call Michigan winter, which would be from, I would say, November 15th to March 15th. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
We've had years where the coldest, we've had years where the coldest stretch of that whole thing was, believe it or not, in the month of December. And you've seen that too, right?
Yeah.
One of them was literally 4 years ago, and most all of those days were before a couple people that I knew of went to Alabama for their winter retreat just after Christmas. And it warmed up right after Christmas, right as they were going. And literally the coldest time, the snowiest time of the whole thing and the coldest was literally between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I can see where December, having all those Saturdays full of December football in Michigan outside, would not be so desirable. If we had all indoor high school football stadiums, though, I would say bring it on. Party, baby. All right, folks, until next time, God first, God always. Good night, everyone.